Greetings, friends, and once again, welcome to Search the Scriptures. We're here, we give you our promise that every single broadcast that you will only hear the truth of Yahweh from Scripture and not the religion and traditions of men. So welcome to another broadcast here. I want to get right into it because 28 minutes is not a long time. Sometimes we do 2 and 3 broadcasts on something and it can go for a matter of days, but we're going to start today, and I am going to talk about today on a very important subject. We always go back to Revelation 12:9. Satan has deceived the whole world, and in this end time that we're living in, every one of us have been part of that deception to one way or another. I came out of that deception 28 years ago, just about, even longer than that now, as I started to come to the truth and started to read my Bible and realize that what the church I was going to was not teaching actually what the Scripture says. And the topic I want to go over today is a topic that's misunderstood by most churches, and it's on the topic of the immortal soul. The immortal soul. Probably 95 to 99% of churches out there believe that the soul is immortal, that when you die, you know, that your body, you know, of course, your body to dust you came, to dust you will return, but your soul goes up to heaven. And then your soul is floating around in heaven on a harp somewhere. But is this actually scriptural? In our next program, we're going to be going into that, exactly what happens when you die, what happens to your body, what happens there. But today, I want to talk about this false concept of an immortal soul. Because it is a false concept, you will clearly see from Scripture, when we go into Scripture, that the soul is not separate from the body, and the soul is not immortal. That is a lie of the devil. We're going to see why. We're going to see why this is a very dangerous doctrine to teach that there's an immortal soul. It leads to pagan doctrines such as reincarnation and all these other evil, false doctrines that many New Age groups and even, sorry to say, religions teach. But let's start in Genesis 2. Let's get right into the subject, because like we always say, we want to go right into the Scriptures. We want the Scriptures to speak for themselves. And we want to see what the Scripture says. So when man was created, and I'm going to read here in verse 7 of Genesis 2. It says, "In Yahweh Elohim," Yahweh is the name of our Heavenly Father. I usually mention this just about in every broadcast, that almost 7,000 times in the original Scriptures, the personal name of our Creator Yahweh was taken out, and it was replaced with generic titles such as L-O-R-D, G-O-D, those kind of things. But our Heavenly Father's family name and personal name is Yahweh, and we use Elohim, which is means deity. In English, most people would say God, but we like to use the Hebrew word Elohim, as this broadcast is being done directly in Israel. And we do host the 3 pilgrim feasts over here where me and my wife live, and we host them in Jerusalem, Israel, and the law will go forth from Zion and the word of Yahweh from Jerusalem. And we do feel to a degree that we're at least partly fulfilling that scripture by doing these broadcasts. So in verse 7, "Yahweh Elohim formed the man from the dust of the ground and blew into his nostrils the breath of life, and the man became a living soul." Very interesting. So Yahweh Elohim breathed life into the man, and the man became a living soul. It doesn't say that the man had a soul, but by the breath of life going into him, he became a living soul. He became a living soul. Now, at that point where he became a living soul, was he immortal? You know, was man immortal at that point? Let's go to Genesis 2, the same chapter, one page over, and verse 16 and 17. "And Yahweh Elohim commanded the man, saying, 'Eating, you may eat of every tree in the garden, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you may not eat, for in the day you eat of it, surely you shall die.'" Pretty simple. In the day you eat this fruit, you will die. And the word for soul, in Hebrew, it's nephesh. What we read here, man became a living soul, a living nephesh, that's the Hebrew word, by having the breath of life that came into him. Like I said, he doesn't have a soul, he became a soul. But in the day that he would eat of this fruit, his nephesh would die. His nephesh was not immortal. His nephesh, his soul, would die. What is death? But death is simply the absence of life. It is not life under different circumstances. So our Heavenly Father did not tell Adam in the day that he would eat that fruit that he would burn forever in a hellfire. He didn't tell him he would go somewhere else and be tortured. He said, in the day you eat that fruit, you will die. We know to our Heavenly Father, a day is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is as a day, like it says in the book of Peter. And he did. Adam was 930 years when he died. He died in the first millennium, the first 1,000 years. But the soul can die very, very clearly. So where did this doctrine of the immortal soul come from? Well, let's look in our Bible, because ultimately the source of all false scripture is Satan the devil. And we're going to see that it was Satan who originally inspired the doctrine that human beings' souls are immortal. Genesis 3 in chapter 3, we read here, Genesis 3 in verse 3. I'll start in verse 2. And the woman said to the serpent, "Of the fruit of the trees of the garden we may eat, but of the fruit of the tree in the middle of the garden, Elohim has said, 'You shall not eat of it, nor shall you touch it, lest you die.' And the serpent said to the woman, 'Surely you will not die.'" So here it is. We see that Satan, what does Yahweh say? He says by breaking his commandments, he says by disobeying his direct command, you will die, that disobedience leads to death. And what does Satan say? No, disobedience leads to life. The immortal soul doctrine. You know, in one way, when you think about it, today you have many churches, if not most churches, preaching false doctrine. They're preaching that the way to eternal life is through disobedience. They preach we don't have to obey our Heavenly Father's law, His Ten Commandments and His law and His Torah, which is an absolute lie. We'll have different programs on that that will clearly prove that obedience only brings blessings, disobedience brings cursings. But we see here that this was exactly what these preachers are preaching today, that somehow disobedience leads to eternal life, is exactly what Satan was preaching in the Garden of Eden. That you can be disobedient and it will actually lead to eternal life. And it's an absolute lie. Absolute lie. So Satan is the author of the immortal soul doctrine. Through time, he inspired this doctrine through ancient Egypt. If you look at all the paganism of Egypt and then Babylon and then the Roman Empire and all the paganism that came from there, the immortal soul doctrine, you will see, developed through paganism. It is not something we find in Scripture. But Romans 6:23 says very clearly that the wages of sin are death, but the gift of Yahweh is eternal life. So the wages of sin is not life eternally burning in another form. And we will do a program showing you that the Bible does not teach that people will just burn and burn and burn forever, because then that would mean they'd get eternal life. And the wages of sin is death. And like we said, death is the absence of life. Very simple. So clearly, we just started here, and you can clearly see from Scripture, though, that souls are not immortal. Souls can die. Also, animals are also nephesh. Animals also have a soul, the same as man. Let's go back to the book of Genesis. Genesis 1, and verse 20 and 21. And Elohim said, "Let the waters swarm with swarmers having a living soul." These are things. And the waters, they had a living soul. "And let the birds fly around over the earth in the face of the expanse of the heavens." And Elohim created the great sea creatures and all that creeps, having a living soul, which swarm the waters according to its kind, and every bird with wing according to its kind. And Elohim saw that it was good. So we see that creatures, animals, they all have a living soul. Same thing. Very, very clear. Ecclesiastes 3 in verse 20 says, "As the human to the animal, both their souls go to the ground when they die." Very, very clear. Now, let's go to Leviticus 21, because there's an interesting scripture over here. And we know in Leviticus it's all about ceremonially unclean laws, and if you do this, you'll be unclean until the evening, and if you do that, you have to wash in water. And that's not our topic today, but I just want to show you something very interesting about this. When it talks about the priest who comes near a dead body, and I want to read one scripture here. It's in Leviticus 21 and verse 11, I'm sorry. Nor shall he come near any dead person, talking about the priest again. He shall not defile himself for his father or his mother. Nor shall he come near any dead person. Do you know the word for person there? Nefesh. The same word we just read, that man became, not that he had a living soul, but man became a living soul. We see here the same thing that he says. He shall not come near any dead nefesh, any dead soul. Can a soul die? Of course, it says it right here. Now, I don't have the time in a short broadcast to go through this. We actually have a video that's on our website, www.coyhwh.com. Is there an immortal soul that goes in much more deeper into the subject? You can go to our website and you can download that video absolutely for free. Actually, everything on our website is a gift to you. As it says in Matthew 10:8, freely you received, freely you give. We're not out to market the good news message of our Savior. We're not out for money, although it does cost money to come on radio and produce these things. We believe in the good-hearted, free will tithes and offerings of Yahweh's people. But we do not solicit for money, and we do not sell the word of Yahweh. So very, very clearly, we see that a soul can die. If you're in your house and you're listening to this, you can also write down Numbers 6:6, Numbers 9, 6, and 7. There's actually quite a few scriptures, Revelation 16 and verse 3, that all show souls dying. Souls can die. Ecclesiastes, let's go to the book of Ecclesiastes and go to one scripture here. Ecclesiastes 9 and verse 5. Very interesting scripture. Ecclesiastes 9 and verse 5. It says, for the living know that they shall die, but the dead do not know anything, nor do they have any more reward, for their memory is forgotten. The living know that they shall die, but the dead do not know anything. The dead are in an unconscious state. And when we go into what is the reward of the saved, we will clearly go into what happens after you die. The Bible tells us very distinctly what happens when you die, where you go. But clearly, when you die, your soul dies. Your soul is not separate from your body. And your soul, when you die, your soul dies. Clearly, the soul, the nefesh, like we said in Hebrew, is the life of the human or the animal body. It's the life. And it can die. There is not even one scripture, not one from Genesis to Revelation, that even remotely hints of a soul being immortal. So, what made a soul live? Let's go back to Genesis 2, and let's see exactly what makes the soul live. Because, like I said, we've had this wrong concept that somehow a soul is like a spirit being. And that's not true. There are spirit beings. There's cherubs and there's seraphs. You know, which many people call angels, you know, which comes from the Greek word angelos, but the Hebrew word malak or malakim, which would be plural, are cherubs. We know they're spirit beings, but a soul is not a spirit being. A soul is not separate. Man became a living soul. He didn't have a soul. So how did he become a living soul? We read it in Genesis 2:7. Let's go over this for a couple minutes here. And Yahweh Elohim formed the man from the dust of the ground and blew into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. When our heavenly Father Yahweh and his son Yeshua at creation week, when they breathed oxygen into Adam, he started the process of oxygenation to the blood to make man a nefesh, a living soul. So it's the oxygen going into his blood to start that process that makes a living soul. We know from Leviticus 17, you don't have to go there, you can write it down, Leviticus 17, 11 through 14, what does it say? The life is in the blood. That is the reason why, you know, as covenant people of Yahweh, we don't drink any blood. We drain the blood from the animal correctly because the life is in the blood. And what happens, what did we say? Death is simply the absence of life. And how does death happen? When a person stops breathing, they stop getting oxygen into their blood, and then their blood coagulates. And it just, that's it. So when the blood stops pumping and the oxygen stops breathing, then that's it. The person is dead. So very, very clearly, we see what's made man the living soul was the oxygen to the blood, and that's exactly what causes someone to die. Let's go to Isaiah 53, wonderful chapter about the Messiah of Israel, a wonderful chapter that also talks about our Savior pouring out his blood. But it's very interesting for the topic on hand as we go into there. And I'm just going to read two scriptures. Isaiah 53 and verse 10, talking about the Messiah. It says, "But Yahweh pleased to crush him, to make him sick, so that if he should put his soul as a guilt offering, he shall see his seed. He shall prolong his days, and the will of Yahweh will prosper in his hand." Yahweh pleased to crush him to make him sick so that he should put his soul as a guilt offering. His soul, nefesh, same exact word. So we see here the Messiah's soul is going to be a guilt offering. That's the same word that's used for the offering on the sacrifice in the temple in the Old Covenant. So the Messiah was going to be a guilt offering. Verse 12, "Because of this I will divide to him with the great, and with the strong he shall divide the spoil, because he poured out his soul, his nephesh, to death." The Messiah poured out his soul to death. Poured out his soul to death. Is the soul immortal? When our Savior died, did his soul die? Of course it did. But then we know from Psalm 16, what does it say? "I will not leave your soul," you know, your body to corruption. He will not leave his soul in the grave. So very clearly, we see that when the Messiah poured out his soul, he did die, but it was promised that he would be resurrected. Psalm 16 and verse 10. "For you will not leave my soul in Sheol. You will not give your Holy One to see corruption." So again, when the Messiah died, his soul died. It went into the grave, but he did not leave it in the grave. He raised him up, we know, after 3 days. Very, very clearly. Ezekiel 18:4. Ezekiel 18:4. Another scripture that's very clear. Ezekiel 18:4. "Behold, they are all my souls," nephesh. "As the soul of the Father, so the soul of the Son, they are mine. The soul, the nephesh that sins, it shall die." The soul that sins, it shall die. So nowhere do we see in Scripture this concept of souls burning forever and ever and ever. No. On Judgment Day, there will be judgment. Those who did good to eternal life, those who did evil to eternal damnation. Matthew 25, we'll read this. Matthew 25 and verse 46. Because some people might say, you just said it there, Don. You said, the ones who did evil to eternal damnation, they're being damned eternally. But that's not exactly the way it is in the original language. As we will see here in a second. Matthew 25, 1 verse 46. "And these shall go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into everlasting life." It doesn't say they're done, they're going to be punished forever. No, it doesn't say that. It says they'll go away into everlasting punishment, not everlasting punishing. So the punishment is forever. The punishment never changes. They'll burn for as long as it takes for their body to burn, and they'll cease to exist. But it's not an everlasting punishing where they're being punished forever. What other scripture in the New Testament tells us that this is the case? Matthew 10. Matthew 10. And we also, if you go to our website, www.coyhwh.com, you can go in our study section that's online, study materials, and you will find Bible studies on all these subjects. Bible study number 7, is there an eternal hellfire? And you will see the answer all laid out, because like I said, in a short broadcast like this, we can't get into everything, but we are trying to hit the high points. Matthew 10 and verse 28. Matthew 10 and verse 28. "And you should not fear the ones killing the body, but not being able to kill the soul, but rather fear him," our Heavenly Father, "being able to destroy both soul and body in Gehenna." Fear our Heavenly Father, who is able to destroy, completely annihilate, doesn't exist anymore, completely kill, destroy the body and the soul in Gehenna. Can a soul be destroyed? Can a soul die? Absolutely. Absolutely. Now, Why is this so important, this subject? It's important for one very simple reason. John 3:16, one of the greatest scriptures in our Bible. It says, "For Yahweh so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that everyone believing into him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For Yahweh did not send his Son into the world that he might condemn the world, but that the world might have life through him." Eternal life is a gift. It is not a right. It is not an inalienable right to every human being to have eternal life. And sorry to say, if you are burning eternally in hell, although it may be torturous conditions, it may not be fun, it is still eternal life. And eternal life is not a right. It is a gift. It is a gift that comes by repenting of our sins, accepting the shed blood of Yeshua, our Savior, the Son of Yahweh, for the forgiveness of those sins. Yeshua is the Hebrew name, which most people in the West, you refer to him as Jesus. But again, being here in Israel, we will use the original proper Hebrew name for our Savior, Yahshua, which is Yahweh's salvation. And that's why this doctrine is so abominable when you think about it. That Yahweh has hoodwinked people into believing that sin will bring eternal life, just like we read in the Garden of Eden there. No, when you eat that fruit, you will die. That's what Yahweh says to Adam and Eve. And what is Satan saying? No, you will not die. And he is leading these same false doctrines into the churches today. Which should be the doctrine that we're preaching? And we will have many subjects on this. Luke 13. Many programs on this, I should say. Luke 13 in verse 2 and 3. Luke 13 in verse 2 and 3. And answering Yeshua said to them, "Do you think that these Galileans were sinners beyond all the Galileans because they were killed this way? No, but I say to you, if you do not repent, you will all likewise be destroyed." If you do not repent, you will all likewise be destroyed. Is eternal life a gift from our Heavenly Father? Absolutely. Can we earn our eternal life? No way. Because we're all sinners falling from the grace of Yahweh. But at the same rate, eternal life is a free gift, but you still have to do something to receive that gift. You will never, ever, ever, whether it's the Old Testament or New Testament, you check me, prove me wrong. Look from Genesis to Revelation, where you will ever see forgiveness without repentance. There has to be repentance. There has to be repentance. If there's not repentance, then there's not forgiveness. What did they say in the book of Acts, the second chapter, when Peter gave the beautiful sermon about Yeshua being the Messiah? And they were pricked in their heart and they said, "What shall we do?" He said, "Repent and believe." You have to repent before you can put the faith to belief. There has to be repentance. And, you know, you're not seeing a lot of that being preached today under the false gospel that many in Christianity are preaching. But repentance must come first to accept the shed blood of our Heavenly Father. Hebrews 10:26, "For if we willfully sin after the full knowledge of the truth, there's no more sacrifice for sins." So that's why this doctrine of the immortal soul is extremely important, because you have a choice to make in your life. Are you going to repent of your sins, accept the blood of our Savior Yeshua, the Son of Yahweh, for the forgiveness of those sins, come into covenant relationship with him through baptism, and get eternal life, which is a free gift that he gives you? Or will you continue in your sinful state and on judgment day go to the lake of fire where you will be burned alive and you'll cease to exist? You'll be completely destroyed. So this is no game. Eternal life is not a right, but eternal life is a free gift. The doctrine of this eternal hellfire and that even the wicked will live forever, it's a false pagan doctrine that came from Egypt and went to the Greeks. It was taught by Plato and Socrates. Rome in the 12th century, you have Dante's Inferno, and that's where the eternal hellfire came from. It was never believed by the early believers. In 166 AD, the famous Christian historian Justin Martyr, even at that point, did not believe in the eternal immortal soul doctrine. Something that came through Catholicism later, but was never a part of the early belief system. 1 Timothy 6:14-16, it says, "There's one who has immortality, and that's Yeshua, our Savior. And when he returns, if we were faithful, he will then give us also immortality. But we don't have it right now. We don't have it. We have eternal life dwelling in us, eternal life, if we are been baptized through his blood and he is living in us. But we can lose that eternal life if we do not continue. We have to endure to the end. Revelation 2 and 3, there's seven churches. And each one he says, unless you repent, I will take the stone, I will take the hidden manna. There has to be repentance if you want to receive that immortality at that time. So I really hope and pray that this has been a blessing to you. Psalm 150 in verse 6 says, all that has breath, praise him. Meaning every soul would have breath, because that's what we said. What makes a soul? It's the breath into the blood and the oxygen. So all that has breath would praise him. But in the grave, when your soul is dead and you're sleeping in the grave, there is no breath to praise him. So let's praise him today. Let's praise the name of Yahweh, our Heavenly Father. Let's praise the name of our Savior Yeshua. And just praise what he is doing in our life. Who are we? We are the congregation of Yahweh, based in Israel, Jerusalem, Israel. We host the three pilgrim feasts every year of Pesach, Shavuot, and Sukkot. Why not think about coming maybe next year, or maybe even this year, and spending it with us? Come and enjoy. You wouldn't believe, if you come to the land of Israel, how your eyes will be open. You wouldn't believe how you will see Scripture in a way you've never seen it before. You can write to us. We do have an American address. It is P.O. Box 832, Carteret, C-A-R-T-E-R-E-T, New Jersey, 07008. P.O. Box 832, Carteret, C-A-R-T-E-R-E-T, New Jersey, 07008. Or you can get us online at www.cohyhwh.com. Like I said, we have many videos, messages, Bible studies, freely you receive, freely you've given. We do accept free will tithes and offerings for anyone who wants to support this work, but we never sell the word of Yahweh, and we never solicit for money. So Yahweh bless you and keep you. May Yahweh's face shine on you. May his countenance lift you up, and may his peace be upon you. Until next time, friends, remember, search the Scriptures, and the truth will set you free.